is a Football Friday right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Day before the rivalry game, BYU and Utah. And here to talk about this game, talk about what it meant to him, was one of the more key, bigger key figures in this rivalry. Brian Johnson, now quarterback coach for the Philadelphia Eagles, kind enough to join us. Brian, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Thanks. Good. First off, how's NFL life treating you?
It's been awesome. Really enjoyed it so far. Looking forward to finally getting a chance to go this week and go out there and see what it's all about. But, you know, so far the experience has been great.
You've had so many great opportunities, Coach, and you, obviously Florida and all the different things that you've done. Was your goal always to get to the NFL and coach in the NFL?
I don't know if it was necessarily a goal, but it's something that happened. And, you know, obviously this is the highest level of football, so I was really excited once the opportunity presented itself and, you know, just really excited to be a part of a great organization and work with some great coaches and players. And experience a new challenge.
And, you know, it's interesting watching your path going from Utah to Mississippi State to Florida, now to the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, when you showed up here at, 17, 18 years old back in 2004, did you ever imagine this is where your life would take you?
No, you know, it's really weird. I think I got to Utah when I was 17 and really wasn't sure what I was going to do. And even, you know, the point of when I finished playing and trying to figure out what I wanted to do in terms of a career after playing, you know, Coach Whittingham was gracious enough to offer me a job and really take me under his wing, and I was able to learn a lot. And, I'm fortunate to be around some great football coaches who have taught me a lot. And I was talking to this with some of my players the other day. It's really weird because time just flies. Like, this is season 12 for me as a coach. So, it's just really fortunate to learn from so many great people and build some unique experiences.
And you've got a chance. You've had a chance to coach so many great quarterbacks and so many great players already to this point. Before we jump a little bit deeper into rivalry talk, how are things looking for the Philadelphia Eagles? How are you feeling about the opener and this weekend coming up?
Well, I'm excited. We get a chance to go down and play Atlanta week one. So, obviously this will be my first NFL experience in a regular season game. So, you know, the unique thing about being in this league is, you know, every team that you play is really good, and they have great players and they have a great coaching staff. So, so many of these games come down to one possession where, the last couple of years getting a chance to be at Florida, you could have, you know, games where you were just flat out more talented than the team that you played. And that was evident once you got on the field. So it's, like I said, it's a new challenge, one that I'm looking forward to, one I'm really, really excited about. And we have a great organization, great coaching staff, and great players, and looking forward to watching these guys get a chance to cut it loose on Sunday.
What is it like? What is the difference like preparing for an NFL defense and their scheme as opposed to the scheme of what you've seen on the collegiate level? Is it significant?
Yeah, still obviously 22 on the field, but the game is played a little bit differently, and primarily just because of the space. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize that in college, you probably have an extra 20 yards total of width to deal with just because of where the hashes are. So the disguises in the NFL can be a little bit more deceiving because there's not as much room to cover. So, like, in college football, if the ball's on the far hash, the defense has a lot of field to cover. So you can really spread people out quite a bit more because of where the ball is snapped from. Whereas in the NFL, the game is mostly played from the middle of the field. So just some spacing issues and things like that are completely different than the college game. But a lot of the concepts, a lot of the coaching points, the fundamentals of the game are the same.
Well, Coach, I want to go back to 2008. You get to the final game of that season. BYU's ranked number 14 in the country. You guys were 11-0 coming into that game. And you had one of the games of your life. You had 300 plus yards. You had four touchdowns.
336.
336. I absolutely need to give. And you had you had plenty on the ground as well. So you did a fantastic job. But just going into that game, what were the emotions like, and what did that game mean to you in that moment?
That was a great game, and you remember every single detail about it. But we knew what was at stake and what was on the line. So just the magnitude of it, I mean, it was even more magnified probably than normal just because we knew what was on the other side of a win. And particularly what had happened the year before, you know, we had like the 4th-and-18 game. And then 2 years prior to that, you had the tight end caught the ball at the end of the game. It ran around for like 13 seconds. So, I mean, there's an unbelievable atmosphere, truly an unforgettable moment. And everybody rushed the field after that game, realizing what we had accomplished.
You know, you got, you dealt with injuries in 2005. You had to sit out the 2006 season. And it just, to be able to culminate your career with that game and then later on beating Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, I mean, you start out in 04, great, and then, you know, there were some roller coasters there for you in your playing career. To be able to finish your run at Utah like that, I can't imagine how special that was.
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, like I said, unfortunately, I guess, you know, I had to deal with some injuries throughout my career and learn how to handle adversity. But you also learn how to handle success, and that's why I think the game of football is the best game in the world, just because, you know, you carry these lessons that you learn playing football throughout life. You know, I'm 34 years old now with a wife and three kids of my own, and some of the same lessons about perseverance and working together, being disciplined, being detailed, things of that nature, that carries over to your everyday life. So you learn so much throughout the game of football. You know, I'm just happy to get a chance to experience at the University of Utah with some great coaches and great teammates.
I've always wondered how close you stayed with that 2008 team. Are you in touch with a lot of the guys off that undefeated team from that incredible, historic year at the University of Utah?
Yeah, you know, we talk to guys from time to time. Obviously, there's guys probably I talk to more than others. You know, my best friend to this day is still Robert Conley. So, I mean, we talk pretty much every week now. But, you know, I still keep in contact with Brent and Sly and Joe Dale. And, you know, it's much easier now because of social media. So, like, we all follow each other, and you see what Paul Kruger's doing or Koa Musi or Shelby and those guys. So it's much easier to keep to be aware of how people are doing. You know, Matt Asiata, things that they do. It's much easier to see how people are holding up.
How long did it take for you when you showed up here in Salt Lake City to realize the BYU game was a pretty big deal?
You know, I would probably say after we lost one. So it was really, really special. The 04 year, obviously going to the Fiesta Bowl, and I remember them carrying the goalpost all the way down the hill to Portocol or whatever that place was.
Yep.
And it was just an absolute scene. And then in 05, I blew my knee out the game before so I didn't get to play, and Rat came in and we went up there and won. And then you had the game that you lost in 06, and that's really when – you know, you realize that this thing is really, really important. And it's a huge game. And we were able to have some battles. And you know, to win the last one that you played in was really, really special.
So I was thinking about some of the big factors of this game, and a lot of it's the trench. That 2008 line that was in front of you was unique, kind of a unique nasty. I noticed when I asked you if you keep in touch with anybody, you didn't mention them. I could understand, because that was a group of nasty dudes that got it done in the trench. How important is it to have that group in this rivalry?
It's great. I mean, you know as well as I do, that's where the game is won. If you can control the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball, you have a huge advantage. And we were able to do that on that 08 team with that offensive line and Zane and both Zanes actually and Caleb and Big Red and Big Con. Those guys were able to control the line of scrimmage up front. And obviously on the defensive side, we had Kruger and the Nikoa and Silver and Shelby. I mean, just the list goes on of guys who were able to contribute. Greg Newman to contribute in the amount of depth that you had on both lines of scrimmage really, really set the tone.
You know, you mentioned Johnny Harleen, the guy that caught that pass against you guys in 06, and I asked him if it feels like 15 years ago, and he says, hey, it feels like a lifetime ago, and then it also feels like yesterday. I mean, 08 was 13 years ago. Does it feel like 13 years? Because that's, I mean, you're over a decade now on that season.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the days are long, but the years are short. So it's flown by. And, you know, it's really unique because you do remember specific details about certain play calls and certain defenses and certain looks that you saw. But when you look on the calendar and realize, holy cow, that was, you know, like you said, 13 years ago, it's tough to believe.
Well, I'll tell you, it's pretty incredible to think that Utah is looking at their 10th win in a row in this rivalry and potential streak. And I know that you were there as a coach and you watched this streak get going. What is it that has kept this so one-sided for the University of Utah? Because Brian, in my time, and I'd have never thought that I would see a 9-10 game winning streak against BYU.
You know, I think all the credit in the world goes to Coach Whittingham and the culture he sets and how important he makes this game to the program. And, you know, it's everybody in the building. And, you know, I can remember early on in my career, we call him like Team Down South and stuff like that. But and Coach Witt, not like that at all. But, you know, he lets it be known that this game is really, really important. And it's a must-win game. So, you know, I think just the way he attacks and he sets the standard of the culture and the program, it kind of just permeates throughout the building. And it doesn't hurt to have great players either.
How surprised were you to see Urban make the jump to the NFL?
You know, I wasn't surprised at all. He's a football coach at heart. And, you know, coaches has accomplished so much in his career. And just like anything else, when you're presented with a new challenge, you know, I'm sure it's very, very intriguing to see what it's all about.
Well, Brian, we appreciate it, man. Good luck coming up this weekend. Looking forward to seeing your Eagles team do some great work. And let's do this again soon. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks so much, Brian.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Brian Johnson, quarterback coach for the Philadelphia Eagles, joining us here on the Zone Sports Network.
Well, he's got a good crew. Jalen Hurts, obviously college superstar. Joe Flacco, longtime. At one point, wasn't he the highest paid quarterback in the NFL? Didn't Flacco sign the most healthy contract in the NFL at one point?
Maybe at one point, yeah.
And Gardner Minshew. So it's a good group. It's a unique group. A real mix that Brian Johnson's working with right now in Philly. And I wish him all the luck in the world, man. I'd love to have him have a ton of success. And you know, there's a part of you that wants to ask him, hey, would you ever come back and coach at the University of Utah? But then there's a part that stops you from saying that because he's in the NFL.
Yeah.
When you're in the NFL,
you want to stay in the NFL.
Yeah, until the NFL says you're done.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't ask, hey, would you ever come back and coach at the University of Utah? Because when you're there, you stay there.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like it's taboo. Like, you come back, and in his mind, he's like, if they fire me out of the NFL, yeah, but I'm not going to leave the NFL willfully. He's got a great job. Quarterbacks coach in the NFL. There's 32 of those. And he's one of them. It's an incredible accomplishment.
No, it is an incredible accomplishment. And the one thing about once you get in the NFL and you're there for a while, you always seem to have employment. Now, you may be moving around a lot, But, I mean, we see these assistants, once they get a name for themselves and they've been around, they just move from team to team to team. Staff gets fired, all right, well, then let's go to Cleveland. And that guy will hire me. I mean, it just seems like it gets, for lack of a better term, with its assistant coaches and its position coaches, gets really incestual. That once you get a name for yourself, it seems like you'll always have a place to land.
Yep. A lot of retread, a lot of movement, but and you're absolutely right. I mean, even when I was in the league, I saw that with coaches. Coaches stuck. Vic Fangio was my defensive coordinator.
I was speaking of,
he's been all over the place.
Yeah, and I was reading something about Fangio the other day where he's got Pat Shurmur as his offensive coordinator. Well, Pat Shurmur used to be a head coach, and he tried to hire Vic as his defensive coordinator. Well, then, for some reason, it didn't work out. Vic then becomes a head coach, and then he hires Pat Shurmur. I mean, it's just like rinse and repeat.
Goes around and around. So I hope that he stays and enjoys a long, successful career as a coach. I was also going to ask him what he's more proud of, his college football playing career or his coaching career. Again, another stupid question to ask because I think it's answered simply as, well, I'm in the middle of my coaching career. He hasn't put the exclamation mark. He hasn't put the period on the end of this career. I think eventually his coaching career is going to end up being much more remarkable than his playing career. So he coached Dak Prescott, didn't he?
At Mississippi State, yeah.
Okay, so I was trying to remember some of the trail of quarterbacks that he's coached along the way. And he's got a couple in the NFL. He's put a couple of guys in the NFL and obviously gained notoriety. Florida was putting him as the offensive coordinator, I believe, when he got the call to come to Philly. He's putting together a heck of a career, man. A real path. Things have gone well for him since he was not retained as the offensive coordinator at the University. I can't remember if he wasn't retained. I can't remember if he was under contract. I don't remember. I just remember Dennis Erickson and Brian Johnson were working in unison, and I don't remember if he wasn't retained. I don't remember the contract
situation.
Well,
I think if memory serves me right, and I think we can have a Utah fan probably give us the details. It's funny when you've been doing this for a while, everything just kind of meshes together. But
really
he
does.
Was the OC by himself, and then I think they brought in Dennis Erickson to kind of help him out a little bit. And I think there was a slight demotion there. And then he gets hired to be a quarterback coach by Dan Mullen at Mississippi State. And I don't think he was let go. I think it was an opportunity. Maybe a change of scenery was probably best for him at that point. And then it's been off to the races ever since. Goes to Mississippi State, and then Dan Mullen takes him to Florida, and then it's off to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, he was quick to correct me on his yardage in that rivalry game.
He remembers that, doesn't he?
336. Yeah, he was awesome in that game. And, yep, that's the Max Hall interception game. And we had Max Hall on earlier this week, and Max Hall talked about that game specifically being the catalyst, not only for the game that he had the following year, but the comments that followed that game.
Yeah.
Both of those things came from that rivalry game. Threw five interceptions. He threw five interceptions in that game, and you heard Brian Johnson go down the list of some of the players that he remembers talking to. Well, Joe Dell had two of those picks. Sean Smith had one. Paul Kruger had one. Robert Johnson had one. There were 77 yards of returns off interceptions in that game, and that is what fueled Max Hall to come back and deliver BYU's last victory in this rivalry game.
I thought, and by the way, this is why I like talking to Brian Johnson. He's very thoughtful with his answers because I served him up a softball of how long did it take for you to realize this was a big deal here in the state of Utah. He's from Texas, had no connection with BYU in Utah, didn't know anything about the rivalry. It would have been very easy to say, like, whoa, you know, as soon as I got on campus, I knew this was that game was really important. But instead he goes, you know, I didn't really think it was a big deal until we actually lost to him. He goes, I get there in 04, we blow him out on their way to the Fiesta Bowl. In 05, he mentioned he blows out his knee. It was against San Diego State at home. I remember the play. I was on the sideline covering that game. And he blows out his knee, but Brett Ratliff goes down there and leads the team, and they get a win. So he's thinking, look, you know, it's a Mountain West Conference game. Sure, it's a rival, but we beat these guys. But then in 06, back to Harlane, and he's got to stew with the fact that they just lost to these guys. That's when he realized, okay, this is a big deal. We can't lose to this team, and we got to find a way to rectify this.
Yep. And he did.
Yeah.
Great interview. If you missed it, go back, listen to it. Brian Johnson, very complimentary of Kyle Whittingham through this winning streak. Talked a little bit about where they're at in Eagles camp, what he's thinking about the Philadelphia Eagles season. Talked about his time in that rivalry game and so much more. That is worth your time. Go back and listen to that thing. He's great. He was on air. It was me, him, and Brent Castile. For a year and a half.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they were fantastic. Amazing insight. Maybe it was two football seasons, I think. And talking with both of them, they're like, yeah, radio's not my direction, but it is fun, but it isn't my direction. And Brian the whole time was talking about wanting to become a coach.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. Jeff's with us right now as we are live here at Rough Tough. And I tell you what, it's always fun to come down here. You guys do such a great job. You take a lot of pride in these products you guys put out here. Let's talk about, you know, some of the work that goes into make these things as special as they are.
Well, from start to finish, it's a detailed process. He spends a day at the dealership getting the pattern. It takes multiple days to convert the pattern into the CAD shop machine. And then there's multiple hands that touch it throughout the shop, and everybody focuses on making it perfect. We know we're the highest quality seat cover on the market, and we want to live up to that.
I was interested. We talk about the new models. Do you have people bring in like a 62 Mustang, and they want their seats redone?
Definitely. Like Dean was up here earlier. He has an order right now for like a 39 Pontiac that he's going to be making.
Wow, so Sunfire,
If the vehicle's here, he can get the pattern, or he has most patterns back into the 50s, so we have a really wide variety of patterns.
That is incredible.
I know, man. It's hard to believe. I can't even imagine your database. I can't imagine how deep it goes.
Oh, yeah.
Because every pattern that gets put in, it's kept forever, right?
Yeah, and a lot of them, the older ones, was prior to our pattern database, so it's all in Dean's measurements. And if we get an order for it now, it's converted into a pattern, and then it's saved forever.
Fact is, if you invest in a new vehicle, you want it to be covered.
Definitely.
And, you know, maybe you got kids that are making messes everywhere, or you're out there hunting and you're dragging mud and all kinds of gunk into your vehicle. You want to protect it, and there's no better way to protect it than these seat covers, because it looks like you just reupholstered the inside of your vehicle. I mean, that's how tight and how much of a perfect fit these things are.
It is, yeah. I just traded in my 15 Chevy for a new one. Took the seat covers off it. It was brand new underneath it.
Looked great, huh?
Yeah, you couldn't even tell that it would. I mean, it's 6 years old now, and yeah, Brand new seats underneath it.
That is awesome. Come down, check out these seat covers. They can customize it specifically for your vehicle. An incredible amount of different options of fabric, whatever you want to go with. And by the way, we are 5 minutes away from giving away a pair of tickets to BYU in Utah, and we will also give away, with those tickets, a $100 gift card to Shields. So be listening in 5 minutes. Now, if you want another Shields gift card, come on down here, put your name in the hopper. They're giving away another $100 gift card to Shields as well. So call 800-453-8830. You can also take 15% off your order when you walk in, or call 800-453-8830. We're right here on the corner of 201 and Bangor Highway. It's right here at Shields, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network.
Ready, go!
The long decade of independence for BYU is finally over.
Let's go!
Hey, 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 hey.
As the Cougars are Big 12 bound. Keep it locked on the Zone Sports Network for all the latest breaking news. As the Cougars make the transition to the Big 12, your home for the best coverage of college football in Utah is right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Welcome back, Hanson Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are giving away the BYU Utah tickets right now with a $100 gift card. It's the 12th caller. 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-9663. The 12th caller, you're getting a couple of tickets, you're headed to that rivalry game, and you're getting a $100 gift card. Call now. All right, excited to catch up with our next guest. He is our Jazz pre, half, and post insider, former BYU coach, and so much more. It is Tim Lacombe. Coach, how you doing?
Dude, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm just glad that I have a chance to talk to you on such a huge day for Brigham Young University. What did you think about this Big 12 invite?
Well, first, I can't lie when you said, you know, what you've all been waiting for. I started to kind of stand up and puff my chest out, you know, fix my hair a little bit and be like, dang, I'm a bigger deal in this market than I would have given myself credit for. And then shortly after, you said the BYU Utah tickets, and I realized I'm just the cleanup crew, man. I'm just, and that's okay. It's okay, but you got to know who you are. And I digress.
You're far from the cleanup crew, Coach. Far from it. And I could see you slicking back your eyebrows.
I totally was. I licked my pinky and manicured the eyebrows. No, but honest, I mean, obviously, unbelievably cool day. I think it's, you know, anybody I've talked to is, you know, it's certainly the buzz, and rightfully so. You know, I think the time has, you know, it's taught everybody that's gone through all of it a ton. And, you know, I would just say, you know, guy like yourself, Hans, you're a part of this thing, right? Like you sweat your own blood, mm-hmm. or whatever that saying is from Dodgeball. It made me bleed my own blood, you know, but you put a ton of effort, and, you know, a big reason why BYU is where they are today is because the effort of certainly the people that are there now, and then the people that have gone through the years. And I think of a guy like Glenn Tuckett, right, who was the AD when I was a kid growing up. And, you know, I remember seeing him from a distance and thinking he was like, you know, the king of BYU. And, but just, you know, the effort he put in, and you go down through, I ran into Rondo Felberg the other day out of the golf course, and, you know, think about what Rondo did, but it's certainly a culmination of an awesome athletic department, and certainly one of the best run athletic departments in the country.
Well, I think that there's one area that you really have to look at, and that's what Dave Rose and his staff, including you, did as well. Because I think, Coach, this is a bigger win for BYU basketball than it is for BYU football. BYU football has been doing their thing. They've built their schedule. BYU basketball has been in the WCC. Big thanks to them. But talk about entering into the Big 12 now and taking on a basketball schedule that looks at Baylor and Iowa State and Kansas and Oklahoma State and Kansas State. It goes on and on. How big of a win is that for BYU men's basketball?
Oh gosh, it's such a huge win, because you're talking about, you know, arguably year in and year out. I mean, the Big 12 has been in the conversation for one, you know, the best basketball league in the country, and you know, you've got a program like BYU that's already got the, you know, people that didn't know about BYU. I had a bunch of basketball friends that would come out here, you know, and they'd play us, and they had no idea what they were getting into. And I think, you know, at times BYU's had their moments, and they've certainly been on the national radar for so long. But I think that this even just solidifies that. It's for BYU basketball, it's a game changer. I think, you know, the fight that we had was almost one of you're chasing a perennial conference champion who's also going to be number, you know, top five in the country year in and year out. But, oh, by the way, the rest of the league, even though I don't have a name, you know, that everybody identifies with and recognizes, it's going to be a really tough sled, because all conference play is. It doesn't matter what conference you play in. So it's going to change the scale. You know, BYU doesn't – it really had to operate almost from a standpoint of perfection. you know, to pardon a pun, that was well used through the years. But basketball, that's kind of how it's been. You've got to try to beat Gonzaga, and you can't lose to anyone else if you want a chance. And oh, by the way, you got to win your preseason games too. So I think it just changes everything. Everything's way more balanced for BYU. And like I said, I couldn't be happier for everybody involved. And I think that encompasses, you know, anybody that's ever had anything to do with that place.
One thing I'd love to have you help me better analyze and understand. So the West Coast Conference over the years, the 10 years that BYU's in, you know, you might have two bids, sometimes one. I think the most I ever saw was three out of the West Coast Conference. I think I remember a year maybe with three to the NCAA tournament. How much more likely is a bid being a part of the Big 12, given their schedule and what they're going to be looking at?
Oh, just, you know, it changes the game. You can really strategize now on, you're going to have plenty of tough games in conference. You can have marquee crossover games, but, you know, your schedule and the RPI of your schedule is built in every year. I think that was always the hardest thing from a, you know, scheduling standpoint, and I kind of did a lot of that when I was there. But you were dealing with projections a lot of the time. You know, it's impossible to – you can only, you know, go on the information you have. So every year you would try to squeeze the numbers, and you'd try to, you know, get a schedule that with the right outcome could get you, you know, positive numbers. All that stuff's kind of out the window now. You're going to play Kansas home and home, right? One of the best basketball schools, you know, in history. And so you're going to get them, but, you know, you look at Oklahoma State, they just had the number one draft pick this year. Certainly TCU's on the rise with Jamie Dixon. And I know, you know, it's a football week and we're talking a ton about basketball, but that's certainly my come from. And I just don't know how you couldn't be more excited about it. You know, the one thing that was tough when the transition was made to independence, everybody had to kind of to get out of the normal pattern. You know, we had our stake in the ground in the Mountain West Conference, and you know, we were kind of the team to beat. And that went from that to, you know, trying to feel your way around and figure out how to get to the gym and at LMU. And so there was certainly, you know, there's been some bumps in this road, but I don't know that you know, looking from a distance at BYU could have or should have done it any different. And I certainly think the outcome has always been, you know, this is what they've always wanted, and certainly that's what they got today.
So you had the chance to recruit into the Mountain West Conference as a coach. You had the chance to recruit into the West Coast Conference as a coach. How much does recruiting into the Big 12 change your ability to step into a home, into a top 10 recruit, and bring him to BYU? Does that dramatically impact your ability?
I would think it dramatically does. I think no matter what, you know, in the situation before, particularly new in the WCC, you know, we were fighting off so many of the bullets of, oh, you're going to play in front of, you know, 350 people. And on some nights they were right. Like, I was even shocked when I walk out at nights at Pacific and go, really, this is what we got tonight, huh? Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was a tough thing to sell. Now, you know, I know BYU's done such a great job through the years recruiting, but now you're kind of rubber stamped. You know, you're bona fide. You're in a room that now you don't have to tell people why you're not in the room. You're in there. And I think that's going to be the biggest difference maker to me.
I was thinking about how it might impact, whether it's Mark Pope or any other head coach that BYU's trying to retain. And as I mentioned to Scotty, the most important thing, it's not the Big 12 label. It's the revenue that you're able to generate. If you can't generate revenue, it doesn't matter what label you've got on. But if you got the Big 12 label and you're generating revenue, you're no longer – and I use stepping stone very, very carefully, because I don't think it was ever that for Dave Rose, and I don't think it was ever that for some BYU coaches that have come through. But, you know, now BYU as a Big 12 member, it's kind of a destination for anybody that might be coming through the basketball coaching ranks. Am I mistaken in that, Coach?
No, I think you're dead on. I think it does solidify things. I think, you know, knowing Mark as well as I've known him through the years, I mean, he won a national championship as a player and certainly wants to be able to do that again. You know, and I think his vision is that BYU, as presently constituted, can do that. But I think it does. I think it, you speak of revenue, be interesting to see if that trickles down. I mean, that's been one thing that's been a little rough. But does that pay, where an increase in revenue, does it mean increase in pay? And then what BYU fans can be excited about is, it really increases even the assistance pool. A lot of times people would not necessarily want to venture here because, you might quote unquote get stuck here, but now you're another stop on the Power Five landscape. And so I think it attracts, all sorts of different reasons from a recruiting standpoint, staffing standpoint, and exposure standpoint. And that's certainly, a huge part of why BYU is around, that exposure to the great things that are going on there.
The other thing I wanted to address was you talked about Pacific and there's LMU and the Toros, and, you go on with West Coast Conference and it's just not real visible. How much more visible will BYU basketball be presented on your major networks in better time slots, better matchups? It should be a much more visible and marketable product now, right?
Yeah, so I just actually had a conversation with our boy DJ. He called me this morning as soon as he got off the air. I would imagine talking for as long as he talks, and then, he just calls people and talks some more. It's amazing, that guy. But he called, wanted to talk about how big this is for BYU, and we talked about through all that. But I think the thing that he made, that I told him, when he asked me kind of a similar question is, again, I don't want to discount what BYU's done, but, it's like that old game where you sit in a circle and you whisper something to the person next to you, and by the time it gets around to the end of the circle, that's totally different. It's all in presentation. It's all in communication. And it's all in perception. And I think the perception is that BYU has always been a team that everybody respects. But they've always had that thing of, they're not a Power Five because nobody's really taken a deeper look and looked into it. Now, like I said, that all that stuff is out. And I think what the nation is going to see in those better time slots and the better exposure is that this has been a Power Five situation since Lavelle ran it, right? Like, Lavelle came in here and won a national championship from this place. The year that we had with Jimmer was a magical year, one that, I look back on even now and just marvel. And we were a couple of tough things away from possibly, having an opportunity to play for one. And so I think the hope is that all those things that were barriers before and reasons to exclude BYU are now, you're in the mainstream. And I think now everybody's going to be able to see the greatness that lies, in so many facets of BYU.
Coach, I've just been sitting back and enjoying the conversation that you and Hans have had. So this has been fun to be a part of and to catch up on.
Sorry,
and hear your voice.
Cut him off a few times, Coach.
I know. The two of you are the only ones anybody really wants to listen to right now.
That is not true.
Well, can we talk a little bit about, I want to hear what you guys are talking about with a football game, Matt.
Yeah.
This is interesting. We actually have not had time to talk about this football game because of the announcement. We've had Brian Johnson, the former Utah quarterback, current Eagles quarterback coach. We've had Johnny Harlan, who caught the recognizable catch for the victory. We've just been packed. We had the presser.
Hans, as you heard, Hans started the segment by saying, what you've all been waiting for. And, man, I got excited about that. Woo! I popped out my chest and like, man, they've had some guests on today and they are waiting for me. But it was the BYU.
It wasn't the tickets. No, it was Coach. Just,
I don't know. There was a
Coach and tickets.
There's a $100 Shields card in there too.
Yeah, so. I know. I know. It's a really good giveaway. don't feel bad, Coach. It was a huge giveaway. Those are big tickets and a great $100
gift
card.
But I do, with all those guys that you just mentioned, I do deserve to be at the cleanup crew. That's who I am, guys. Don't ever forget who you are.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. But, Coach, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to catching up again here real soon.
All right. Thanks, guys, for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
It's Tim Lacombe. Longtime BYU assistant basketball coach, seeing BYU go to the Big 12. You know what's interesting? I remember, you know, the 2010, when the summer when the Pac-12 made the invitation and Utah made the jump. And it's like, oh, my gosh, this is awesome. We're going to be playing USC every year. And then the next year, you're like, oh, we're playing USC. Like, it's fun and it's exciting. And then you realize, oh, we've got to go to Kansas and we've got to play the Jayhawks. Oh, we got to go to Baylor and play Baylor. Like, it's fun to think about. And then all of a sudden you realize, like, oh, we got to do this. Like, this is big boy hoops. This is the best conference, arguably one of the best basketball conferences in the country right now.
One thing I was talking to Coach Lacombe about, I asked him, Scotty, how much more likely is it that you get an NCAA tournament invite? Because the West Coast Conference probably averages 1.5, maybe 2.
They had 1 year where they got really lucky and they got 4 or 5 in because they kind of broke the RPI bubble a little bit. But other than that, you got three at the most. Most likely two. You'll usually get two in. They're never a one-bid conference, but on average, it's probably two. On a good year, three. Maybe on a really bad year, one. But it's going to be a two-bid league.
Out of Big 12, you're looking at six?
Yeah.
Seven?
Easy. Yep.
It's the RPI. You play tough schedules. It's not about the wins, losses. It's about who you're playing, the conference you play in.
BYU will be playing a top 50 RPI team like every game almost. And that'll build your resume. Y'all feed off each other, and BYU is going to have – because and you mentioned the Mountain West. Now the West Coast Conference, you know, sometimes it's one, it's just Gonzaga. Sometimes it's two. Very rarely is it three. But, yeah, I mean, you have to finish top two in the league. You have to make sure you finish second to Gonzaga if you've got a chance to make the tournament. Here in the Big 12, you get a little bit more leeway there for sure. Now, they still have to be good. They still have to be able to play well, but a lot on the line there for BYU. All right, Hans and Scotty, big thanks to Tim Lacombe for joining us. Coming up a little bit later on, we continue to get you ready for the rivalry game, BYU and Utah. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show.
The Big Show.
With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
BYU legend, Rob Morris. What do you think has to happen for this streak to come to an end Saturday night? What does BYU have to do to win?
I think it's going to take a big game from the new quarterback, from Hall. He's going to have to make some plays with his feet. Turnovers are obviously huge, but you can't get behind quick. You got to be in the game all the time. And these rivalry games, I think they're a little more magnified than a normal game. When they get emotional and when the momentum swings and the other guys get rolling, it can be tough to stop them in a rivalry game. So I think that's the key for BYU is some big plays, turnovers. I mean, that sounds like the key to winning every game. But in the rivalry games, you got to keep it close or get a big lead.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.975 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, thanks for making us part of your day. Hey, Davis Vision's got their back-to-school sale going on right now. Get $1,000 off LASIK. All you have to do is call 801-253-3080. That's 801-253-3080. What a day we've had so far, Hans. We still have another hour of radio left.
I'm pretty exhausted. Like, if radio can be exhausting. I feel like you and I had a 40-foot by 55-foot slab of concrete we had to pour today.
Did you ever pour any concrete back in the day?
Oh, heck no. I won't mess with this stuff. My dad made me mix.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, I had to. We did the wheelbarrow mix, and it's the worst stuff to work with in the world.
No, it is. And for some reason, we'd always be doing it on, like, a July day when it was 120 degrees, and
why?
That stuff was going to set like that.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, half of it's set in the
My dad loved
in the
to do
wheelbarrow.
We'd love to do those pours. You know, whether we'd be adding on to a barn or something like that and we'd have to frame it up and lay out your rebar and tie it all off. And
there's a reason why having concrete done around your home is expensive. It's because it sucks.
Yeah.
Tore out a driveway once with a jackhammer.
that's as bad as pouring.
Yeah. Did that you replace?
It was awful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was so terrible.
That's as bad as pouring.
No fun. That's the one thing that there are certain jobs you're like, I can handle that. Then when it comes to concrete, like, no.
No, I don't want that.
No.
It makes my hands dry out.
You get all that trowel and
the lye gets in your hands and you feel like you're Grizzly Adam hands.
And then you try to run the broom over it to give a little bit of texture to it so, you know, cars don't slip and stuff on it. And you're doing it wrong. Gotta have straight lines.
And then it dries out and you can't change it.
Yeah.
Hop off the jackhammer and you're still just bouncing the entire way home.
I've never done the jackhammer thing.
Oh, it's brutal. I have. And they're heavy.
I have. I've jackhammered out some cement. Horrible.
Yeah, no fun. Well, we are live here at Rough Tough. There's a lot of work that goes into making these seat covers a perfect fit. And the man that makes it happen is Dae-Hyun Kim, kind enough to join us. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks.
So we last time we were here, you kind of showed us the process. And you're the one that will actually go out to, let's say there's a new F-150 that comes out.
Yes.
You're the one that goes out to the dealership and does the exact measurements to make sure it's a perfect fit, correct?
Yes, exactly.
What's that process like for you? How detailed is that?
Oh, time-wise, I'm spending about 4 to 8 hours just to get a measurement from the dealership.
Really?
Yes. Because we measure inch by inch, every single details. And there's a lot of variation on F-150 or any other trucks. It's not like just F-150 fit or F-150.
Yeah.
There's F-150, F-150 Platinum, Limited, XLT, XL. So there's about 5 different front seat variation and 4 different rear seat variation. So there's a lot of details.
So I remember last time we came out here and we talked to you and we went in the back. As we were walking into your office, they were like, hey, this guy's really good. In fact, we've had him forever, and we do everything we can to keep him. What I love about Rough Tough, you've been here for a long time. Everybody that Scotty and I have had on here have been here for a long time. How long have you been with them, and how much do you love working with the company?
Oh, I love this. I really love work for this company, and I work for this company 18 years now.
Wow.
18 years.
Yes,
man.
And the reason I really love work for this place because we never take any shortcut. We're doing things the right and right way and that kind of stuff.
That is nice because then you don't have to deal with customers that are upset.
And, right.
You know, you're dealing with a happy customer.
Right.
You're dealing with happy bosses because you're not getting returns. That's one thing that Scotty and I talked about when we left here last time we were here is we can back that company because we know that they're doing things the best they can possibly do with these car seat covers.
Oh, yeah. That's what we are doing here, and I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah.
How hard has it been recently to try to find some of the vehicles in stock to get them measured?
Oh, that is another nightmare nowadays. Like, I'm trying to find the F-150 Platinum version since 3 weeks ago. We made seat cover out of it, and I'm still chasing down. But I cannot find it.
To get the measurements?
No, I mean the side fitted.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We got the measurement. We're making seat cover for it, and I'm trying to side fit it before we even shipped out the customer, right?
Yeah.
So I'm.
And 3 weeks you've been.
Oh, yeah. The vehicle that I measure is sold that day. I measured it that day.
And
that vehicle is gone.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. But it just goes to show you how detailed and how exact you want to be. It's not just the new F-150. I mean, you mentioned everyone's going to be a little different so that when you do ship that out and that person puts it over their seat, they're like, this looks like a brand new seat. It doesn't look like a cover. It looks like a brand new seat was just installed in here.
Right. That's what we are trying to do. We are not a upholstery company. We are a seat cover manufacturer. But it looks like and fits like a upholstery job. So that's what we're trying to do.
Well, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming by, man. This is appreciated. We loved hanging out with you in your office back there in your area. And they're like, this is the mad scientist back here. He's the one that makes it all go. But this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys.
We're live here at Rough Tough. It's the corner of State Road 201 and Bangor Highway. It's 2252 South President's Drive, and you can come on by right now. You walk in the door, they're going to give you 15% off. You call 800-453-8830. They're going to give you 15% off. Put your name in the hopper to win a Shields gift card worth $100. We also have, I got a couple more Bees tickets. These aren't just Bees tickets. It's a voucher for an all-you-can-eat concession, so you can go and eat as many hot dogs and churros as you want. So come down, grab some of that. We've got jazz gear as well. It's all here at Rough Tough. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.